Before Maariv and the Mishnah take a while, so okay. We are on Talmud Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis Amud. Don't give them off. Sorry. By the way, parenthetically, as you've probably all realized by now, there is no Gemara from here until the end of the Masechta. There's only Mishnayos. Right? That presents its own challenge in learning. We'll see how it goes. Misha Zacha Bemachta. No touching. Misha Zacha Bemachta. Natal Machta Sakesef Ve'ala L'Reish Mizbech. So whoever has the schus of taking the Machta, right? But we'll now take the Machta Sakesef, a silver Machta. Yeah? And he'll go to the head, to the top of the Mizbech. Which Mizbech?
And the inside one.
Turret. Yes. Right. Upana es a gechalim heilach, and he'll sort of dig around the gechalim in the holes. Vechosa. Sorry, no. Mizbeach is a mizbeach. And I knew there was an important question. Whoever got the machta once the Torah has been taken into the heichal, will now go to somebody else who's got the schus of the machta, which is a pen for carrying the kolim, to the mizbeach apnimi, will go to the top of the mizbeach hachitzoin, right, the mizbeach ha'ula, and he'll go to the, remember how many bonfires do we have on the top of the mizbeach ha'ula?
Three, four, five,
at least three. Right, one which is the Marach Dola, which is where they would bring the Korban Tamid. Marach Hashnia, Marach Taurus. Right, that's where they would actually get the coals from for the Taurus. And then there was the Marach Alekimanesh. Very good. Okay, so whoever had the schus for the Machta, there's different. One person carrying the Taurus, the other person carrying the Machta. The thing that Taurus was carrying was called a cup. Right, it's a similar dish in Venice. Right. He would take the machta, and it was made from silver, not from gold, right? And he would go to the top of the mizbeach ha'ola, to one of the fires, the one for the chorus, and he would dig around among the coals, right? And he would take from one of the really really hot coals in the center of the bonfire, right? Because those ones that are going to burn the chorus the best, right? Yarad ve'iran l'soik shalzav, and from there he would take them. No touching. He would take the coals down from the mizbeach and pour them into a kli shalzav. Nispazer mimenu kekav gechalim. Now the problem is the kli, right, which he was pouring them into, was smaller. It was three cubs instead of four, I think, if I remember correctly. But it was one cub smaller, which meant that inevitably one cub of these coals would be tipped onto the ground. Now, if I ask you, what's the din of coals from these bare tipped onto the ground?
You have to bury them.
Okay, so on one hand, they're from the mizbeach, so they have to shah, right? On the other hand, they came off the mizbeach, so we don't have to now put them back on. So he said. He would sweep them into the channel that runs alongside the mizbeach, basically for waste products. No touching here. That was, by the way, I'm sure you realized.
Yes.
Okay. What do we? Okay. It says, "Uveshabas hayakoyfe aleihem psachter," and on Shabbos he would cover them with another kli. Why?
Mukse.
Very good. Also, there's kibui, right? So the problem with kibui, which has nothing to do with the voida, you can get it. Go get it. Upsachter haisa kli gadol mechazekes lesach, and the psachter that they would put on top of these coals was a kli gadol. It was a very large kli mechazekes lesach. But hold the lesach. I'm actually not certain what that is. Large, right? Ushtei sharsheros hayoba, and there were two chains hanging from it. Achas shul moishich bava yored, b'achas shul oishes mila meilan. One that he could basically pull it down with, and the other that he could pull it up with.
Wait, what were these chains?
So it says, right, one, it says that he would pull it to get it to go down, right? And the other that he would pull on it to raise the to raise it.
So is it like suspended from something higher up?
That's Oh, so Lesech is a half a kor. I didn't remember how big it was, right? The two chains were on either side, one from one side and one from the other, right? Oh, because they would use this to take the ashes from top of the Mizbeach.
They'd use chains?
They would use this implement as well, take the ashes from top of the Mizbeach. It was a dual use kli. It was both used for covering things on Shabbos, and it was used, according to the Baruch Nura, to bring things from top of the Mizbeach. Right, and when they would basically, what they would do when they were pulling it down from the Mizbeach, it was big and heavy, so they would actually drag it along the ground using one of these chains. Right, and then when they were trying to raise it, they would pull it the other way. Again, they would drag it along the ground, so that's why there are two chains attached to it.
Big vessel to ashes.
It was very large, right?
Is the same in both Batei Mikdash?
I'm sorry?
Is this the same process in both Batei Mikdash?
This is discussing the process in Beis Sheni. Okay. Right? Meaning, it's not that they would have done something radically different in Beis Rishon. I mean, some of them would have done something similar, because like I said, I don't know if they had Mukta yet in a rule in Beis Rishon, because it's a rule there of Rabbanan, I don't know when it was enacted. For sure, they already had an Isra of Kibbutz, which is an Isra of Doraisa. So, I mean, I don't know, it's not actually an Isra of Kibbutz. But I thought they had the same problem of putting out the coals if you tip it into the armor, right? So it wasn't like the problem was going away. They might have had a different way of dealing with it in a practical sense. But a lot of the descriptions in Maseches Talmud are not per se descriptions that are Torah in the classic sense, in the sense of this is the way the Halacha says things have to be done in no other way. They are descriptions of how they did things in the Mikdash. Now, obviously, they were contending with the Halacha of how things should be done in the Mikdash. When they decided how things would be done practically, it doesn't mean necessarily it was the only way to do it. The reason why they would move around this dish like this is because otherwise it might roll. Right? This was a secure way of moving it around. It's not tiny. And they would have been scattered, and you can't remove it or not. The problem is you can't move them.
How much is a kav?
What?
How much is a kav?
Chatzi kav. A kav. I'm not good on the volume. Somebody look up. Right. And it will do three things. They use it to cover the chalam on Shabbos. Vala sheretz be Shabbos, and also on a sheretz in the mikdash. Which sheretz? Alive or dead?
Dead.
Why?
Because it's alive.
Don't cover it. Because it'll be trapping if it was alive.
Okay, that's one problem. But we say it's only trapping Darabanan and the inch for mikdash.
You just chase it out.
What's the point of covering a sheretz that's alive? It's not tummy.
What's the point?
It's dead. And we're ridden by the desh and Malcolm Amzek, and they were used to carry ashes from the top of the Mizbech. Okay, fine. Next Mishnah. Higiu Beina Ulam Mizbech. They will now come to the area of the Beit HaMikdash between the Ulam, so the outer room of the actual building of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Mizbech. This is an area already of the Mikdash where Zarim are not allowed to come. Only Kohanim are allowed to be there, and they're only allowed to be here when they have a reason to be here. Okay? That is, by the way, according to most Rishonim, it's a Doraisa. Okay. So it says, Natal Echad Es HaMagarefa. So one of them, would take the Magarefa, and he would Vizorka Bein Ha'ulam HaMezbech. Now, Magarefa is, I don't know exactly what it looked like. It was a very large clip they would use to make a lot of noise. Like they would chuck it and it would make a tremendous amount of noise. Right? Right. We're going to see in a minute why. Ain Adam Shemea Kol Chaver B'Yerushalayim Mikol Magrecha. Nobody in Yerushalayim could hear a thing because of this tremendously loud noise that was made in the Mikdash. V'Shleisha Dvarim Ha'isam Yishamashas, and they would do this for three reasons. Kohen Shashamea Eskola Yodea She'ach V'Kohanim Nichnasim La'ashtach HaVeis V'Hu Ratzuba. Firstly, if a Kohen heard this, he would know that his fellow Kohanim are going into the Mikdash to bow down, right? Sometimes they would do that. He would come to do it with them. Yeah?
Well, like from within, like, out to Yerushalayim.
I'm sorry? From outside the Azara. I mean, like, come to the Azara to bow down quickly, because that's what the Kohanim are doing right now. Right? Secondly, Uven Levi Shushay Meas Kol Yadesh Achra Levim Nichsvasim Ledaber Bashir. And the second thing that it would achieve would be Levim, who heard it, would know that the other Levim are coming to the Mikdash to start their music. Shir here, if you remember from Sukkah, means both singing and musical instruments, right? So they knew that the Levim were coming to make music, right, as part of the ceremony of bringing the korban, right? And we saw that it's actually viewed as a very important part. Ad kidei kach, all the rules about avodah and Shabbos apply also to music for the Levim make on Shabbos, right? So these Levim would come and start singing if they were outside of the Azara at the time. Vehu ratzuba, and he would come in to make music. Veroisha maimad hayamamides hatameim b'shar mizrach. Right. And the Rosh HaMaimad, right? Does anybody know what the Maimad was? Anybody see the Tantanis?
The Mishnah, the Bnei Israel had groups of people who would do certain services in the Mishnah. They were appointed for the Bnei Drash for the Chesh Mikdash.
And what would they do?
They would stock the wood,
they would govern.
They would daven, they would read from the Torah from that day of creation, and they would, one more thing,
fast.
Very good, they would fast. Now, the reason why is because we have this general idea that that ideally a korban should not be brought without a representative of the person who's bringing it there. Korban is brought on top of Bnei Israel, there should be representatives of not just Kohanim and Levim there. Yeah? Okay. Fine. So the Rosh HaMaimad, who's in charge of all the Yisraelim in the Mikdash, he would get all of the name to the Shar HaMizrach. What's the Shar HaMizrach? Very good, but what is it? Which gate is that? Started before. The main gate, the most important gate of the Azara. Now, why would they come to it? It's also called Shar Nikonar. Why would he be getting the Tmeim there? Which Tmeim? No. Why does Tmeim come to the base mikdash?
The ones they need to bring a korban.
Very good, right? Anybody who's mikdash or kippurim who needs a korban to become tahar, so a nazir, right? Zava, Zav Sherosh, Shalosh Rios, right? Yoledes, Matsura. And he's now bringing his korban. All these people would have to come to the Beit HaMikdash, right? So they would gather at the Eastern Gate, because they can't actually come into the Azara, because they're still Tomei. Okay. Hadran Alach Amar Lahem HaMemune. Right. Next parak. Hechelu Oilim B'malois HaUlam. Right, they would now start climbing the stairs into the Ulam. Like I said, the Ulam is the outer room of the building of Beit HaMikdash itself. However, it did not have Kedushas HaHeichal. Right, it has Kedushas HaAzara. Right, the reason why is that the Kohanim had to be able to go in there so they could get their implements. That's where their implements were stored. Right? Mi shezachu bedishon mizbeach apnimi v'amanura ayu makdimin lefneim. Anybody who is going to be cleaning up the mizbeach apnimi, the mizbeach azava, or the ktoros, it has to be cleaned up every single day, right? Whoever was in charge of doing that, or who was in charge of cleaning the menorah, would go in first, because he has the first thing to do. Mi shezachu bedishon mizbeach apnimi nichnas v'natal asateni. Whoever was meant to be cleaning up the Mizbeach HaPnimi, remember, we've already discussed this, right? Mizbeach HaPnimi has already been cleaned, right? They already swept the ashes off the Mizbeach HaPnimi and put it in is it a basket, is it a big metal bowl, right? Whatever a teni is, right? This implement that was there for holding the mash, for the ashes, right? So all they had to really do now was come and take the ashes out, because you don't want this, well, trash basically in the base of Mikdash, right? Where would they put it?
Ashes on the side, huh?
Of the mitzvah, very good. And until they're ready to be taken out, which is not done every day, but not once in a while when there was a lot of them already. He would take this basket, he would bow. And when we say bow, what do we mean? Pishut yadayim veraglayim, the thing that is also to do under any circumstance outside the mikdash on a stone floor, he would do there. Right? He would lie down with his hands and arms and legs outstretched. That was what that's what the word hishtachavaya means. Derech Agav, in the time of the Mishnah, they would also do this when they were davening. How do I know? Because it says that Rabbi Akiva, me roiv hishtachavayos, would move around the room. Now, when you bow down to Shemoneh Esrei, you're going to change your position. But if you're literally spread-eagling on the floor and then getting up, and you're going to be in a slightly different position each time, so it makes sense that he would bow down, he was bowing down so often that he'd actually move around the room. Yeah? Very good. Also, the Mara and the Megillah says that they, at that point in time, the minute was actually to do a real hishtachavaya as part of the supposed to do, which is sort of symbolic. We just sit down on a chair, we put our hands on our arm for a different reason. Okay? Fine. No, Misha Zacha be Bezdishin the menorah. Whoever was meant to clean up the menorah, Nichnas or Motza Shtei Neiroiz Ma'aravim Dolkin Medashne Nesamiz Be'esamizrachim Aniach as Ma'aravi Dolek. And whoever was meant to clean up the menorah, he would come in. If the western two most candles, remember we said, they burn the longest, even though they had the same amount of oil. That was one of the miracles in the Mikdash during the time of Shem Natsatik. Right, and in any case, right, we want them to burn for longer, so if they're burning, just leaves them. He has to wants to take the ash out of the other candles, right? And he said, so the five eastern candles he'll clean out whatever ash is left in them, ash and oil. The two westernmost ones he would leave burning because the second one from the west is called the Ner Maravi. It's the most important candle in the Mikdash. Yeah? And the reason why, right away, it's important to leave Ner Maravi, the second most candle from the west. I mean, the second one from the Kodesh Kodashim, because the menorah we assume usually was laid out east west. The Roman says north south. Most of the Roshonim say like tonight and say east west. Right? So we would then use that Ner Maravi, that second most candle, to light the menorah in the evening. Now, no, I'm just going to mention this very, very quickly. Right, there is a difference between the lighting of the menorah, if there was a lighting of the menorah in the morning, and the lighting of the menorah in the evening. Lighting the menorah in the evening is a mitzvah hadlaka. Right, the mitzvah is to light the menorah. If they lit the menorah in the morning, which they did a point from, they did in the chonik and else, it was just to make sure that everything was really clean. Meaning the best way to clean the oil out of those dishes is actually just to burn it. Yeah? It's different. It's part of the mitzvah of hatava sanera. It's of making the candles better. Yeah? Okay. Now, if you think about the imagery, the reason why they start from the west candle, the Ner Maravi, which, like I said, is really the second one from the Kodesh Kodashim, and move outwards is because the image is of the light spreading out from the Kodesh Kodashim. Right?
Why the second one?
So we have a drasha that says that it was Mara, that there was one that was even more Maravi. Right, one that was sort of always hidden because you could never be able to see it because of the one that was lit. Again, the message is very relatively clear, I think. Right, there was one candle, there was one bit of light that was always hidden because there was something always in front of it. Okay? Yeah? But good question. Fine. If he finds that the Ner Maravi has gone out, that second candle from the west has gone out, he would relight it. But he would relight it using a flame from the Mizbeach Leila. The reason why is because the menorah also has the word Tamid associated with it, and therefore you have to light it from an Esh Tamid. The only Esh Tamid which we're really sure about in the Mikdash is the Mizbeach. Yeah? Because it was outside of the building, therefore they would see if it went out and they would simply feed it if it was going out to make sure it did not go out. Yeah? Natal es hakuz mi maila shnir. Remember, the kuz is the thing that they have the ashes from the mizbeah, from the menorah in. Right, they left it on the second step. There were three steps up to the menorah. They took it from the second step. Yeah. Vishtachavan. He would bow down and then he would leave. Now, note, when you talk about three steps in the menorah, so if you look at the picture of the menorah on the Ark of Titus, or the picture of the menorah in the symbol of the State of Israel, or the menorah that they've put on display right outside the Kotel, right. So what you'll notice is that it's three steps and then the menorah is on top. That is not what the menorah looked like. Where the archaeologists are really 100% certain is we have a lot of images from the time of Beis Sheni that are very clear about it. It was actually on a tripod. It was on a tripod. It had three legs. Meaning there was a platform.
There was like a separate staircase.
Yeah, exactly. It was on a platform. But then it was... But the base of the menorah was not the platform. It was a tripod on top of that platform. It's Mannion. The base of the Menorah is really the only thing that's not described in the Masorah. Like, it's the only thing that we don't have descriptions of in Chazal that we don't have clear halachics about. But there you go. Just a minute, little monster. Misha Zacha Bemachta, whoever was, had the skills of carrying the coals into the Mizbeach. Tzavar, it's like Yechalim al Gabeah Mizbeach. He would then bring all the coals together on the Mizbeach. They're in one place, so they'll burn better, right? Viredadan Beshuli Hamachta, and then he would fan them using this machta to make sure they're burning hot. Vishtachava, he would bow, and he would leave.
That's the inner. This is the inner.
Yeah, this is already Mizbeach, because now they're going to burn the Torahs. Right? Now, next Mishnah. Misha Zacha Bektoris. Whoever had the skills of bringing the Torahs, right? Haya Notel Esa Bezech Mitoifatav. He would take the Bezech, right? This bowl that carries the Torahs that we discussed yesterday, right? Which actually has a Torah, which was carried in the calf. And he would give it to some other coin who he likes, either somebody who he's friends with, somebody who is a relative, it doesn't matter. He would pick another coin and he would give them the bezech. And then, basically, this other coin, right, would now tip the bezech. He would tip this bowl of Torahs into the cupped hands of the coin who's meant to put the Torahs on the mizbeach. Right, that was why I did it this way, because it's hard to do that on your own. Right?
Is this exactly what the coin godder had to do by himself?
No, the coin godder would pick it up and put it into a cup. Firstly, without a bezech, and secondly, he would pick it up in his hands and he would put it in the cup directly. Yeah. It was a little bit of a different ceremony. They would teach him, have a zayir shema taschil mipanecha sheloi sich ve. Right? And they would, whichever kohanim were. Yoni, we're not talking now, okay? Whichever kohen, right, was in charge of things, would now teach him, make sure you're careful in the way you now tip. On the one hand, you have to tip the chloros carefully onto the coals, right? Because you're not going to just throw it, you're not going to get any chloros on the coals. It's going to flutter. Right? On the other hand, you don't want to burn. So it's saying, do it carefully in such a way that you're not going to burn your fingers. Yeah? Right? He's still. Okay, so fine. We're right in the middle of the last mission and we'll continue tomorrow. Go ahead, gentlemen. I'm sorry?